Sister Helen Prejean, many of you know her from Dead Man Walking. She's a sister of St. Joseph who's even been here to speak for adult education. She works with prisoners on death row. And this is how she describes the Christian life. And I quote her, "Now set your sails and brace yourself for a riveting ride. Who knows to what shore God will take you? If it's not scary and surprising and an adventure all at the same time, it's not the call of the gospel of Jesus. So enjoy the ride." Great way to think about Christianity, isn't it? Using the lens that she provides of scary, surprising, and adventurous, let's take a look at the gospel today. First, the scary part. I would surmise that most of us here at church this morning know at least one couple who has lost a child. It's unnatural for parents to have to bury a child. And that kind of grief can last a long time, usually a lifetime. In my ministry as a priest, I've come to know many parents who have had to bury a child. And I, as I prepared this homily, have been riveted on them and their amazing dedication and faith. How they would have given anything for this gospel scene today to be true for them. Surprising. In the text today, we hear of a little girl who has died, and the mourners are announcing it clearly by their wailing. And remember, back there, first century Palestine, there were professional wailers that would come out and just do the bah humbug all day long to get us all in a really down, grieving mood. So Jesus says to them that the girl is just sleeping, which earns him the onlookers' ridicule. And Mark calls it sleep in the gospel to note that for Jesus, death is as sleep. As a metaphor, sleep is what that girl is experiencing because it really is just a transition. It's a way for her to understand that death never has the last word. In the scripture, sleep usually represents our own penchant to deny death and worship at the altar of youth, success, control, health, power, you name it. Death always unveils those idols and exposes their false promises. We sleep, we close our eyes, and we pretend that we really are in control. But death seems to have the last word in this gospel. But let's move to the third, the adventure. The last word in the gospel is the word from Jesus. It's his word to Jairus, the synagogue official, and to everyone else. He says, "Do not be afraid, just have faith." Now, what does that mean, just have faith? What do we do to get this stuff we call faith? I'd like to suggest that faith is the adventure of being ultimately concerned about something. Whether Aristotle or Aquinas, contemporary philosophy or psychology, most agree that we have three major faculties to understand faith: head, heart, and gut, each with their own special way of appropriating faith. In our heads we think, in our hearts we usually feel, but it's in our guts that we sometimes just know in a way beyond thought and feeling. Perhaps the gut is all about intuition. It lets us know what we have to do. We've all been in situations, haven't we, where our heads aren't in it, our heart's in it, but we know that our gut is in it. And against any of the odds out there, in our gut we feel something and we know we have to do it. Our gut is where compassion resides. It's no mistake that to be compassionate is to be near the bowels because something needs to happen, something needs to move. It's that guttural, isn't it? Again, Jesus says, just have faith. Whether it's here, here, or in the gut. what does that mean for all of us? There's some really interesting research today, especially coming from a professor, Angela Duckworth. I don't know if anyone's seen her on the TED Talk. It's gone viral. And she talks about this psychosocial barometer that she calls grit. And grit is what children, she says, need to achieve. She says that IQ is no longer one way to tell us what someone knows. We need to get another barometer. And she says it's grit. It's that drive that we have. It's that passion that we have to be in something, not just for the sprint, but to be in it for the long haul. I think we can say that grit tells us a lot about faith. It's a way to measure what we're ultimately concerned about. The research that she's doing, she teaches at the University of Pennsylvania. She looks at people who are going into inner city schools as rookie teachers to see what keeps them going in spite and face of all these odds. She went to West Point to look at cadets to say what made some leave, what made others stay. And she also measures the National Spelling Bee contest to figure out how these young kids can stay in there. And she says the common denominator is this notion of grit. Her motto is that we need to be gritty about getting kids grittier. I like to also use that same way of looking at it for faith. We need to be in this for the long haul. Faith is all about what we're ultimately concerned about. And that's why when Jesus says, don't be afraid, just have faith, it's not just a throwaway line. It's this wholesale way that we embrace Jesus and say, yeah, I believe. Yesterday, I don't know if anyone heard Governor Haley's comments about Cynthia Hurd, one of the women who was killed in Charleston, North Carolina. Her life's motto was this: be kinder than necessary. Be kinder than necessary. This 54-year-old woman who was a librarian, no one knew nationally, but now we get a glimpse into her life. We can see her faith and her grit. She modeled for us honesty, generosity, hospitality, and even a concern for justice in that one pithy motto: be kinder than necessary. In conclusion, our gospel today lays out different ways and movements for us to enjoy our own Christian life. As Sister Helen Prejean says, enjoy the ride. It's going to be scary, surprising, and filled with adventure. Do we recognize the presence of the risen Lord who shows up at all those moments in our lives when we're afraid, when we're surprised, or when we're lacking faith, and says to us, like he said to that little girl, Talitha Kuhn, I say to you, arise. Get back in the game of life. I think it's no mistake that Mark doesn't translate that. He keeps it in the Aramaic. And anytime in Scripture words or phrases go untranslated, they're supposed to be burned into our own consciousness so that when we're experiencing those moments of scariness, surprising, and adventure, we can hear the Lord say to us in Aramaic, Talitha Kuhn, arise, deal with life. I pray God is deeply blessed by the way we engage our faith, by the way we engage our surprises, by the way we engage our fears. It's worth the ride.